It's January 2nd. A new year has begun. This is an arbitrary convention, of course. Not everybody celebrates the new year at this time, and January 1st has not always been New Year's Day. We inherited our calendar from the Romans, and by their original reckoning, March was the beginning of the year. That's how September, October, November, and December got their names. That's the 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th months. Up until 1752, England and its American colonies observed the New Year on March 25th, exactly 9 months before Christmas, the day traditionally appointed for celebrating the Annunciation, when the angel appeared to Mary and told her she was going to give birth to Jesus. In various times and places, Christians have begun the New Year on Christmas Day, Easter Day, March 1st, March 25th, and January 1st. Our liturgical calendar currently considers the first Sunday in Advent, which is late November, early December, to be the beginning of a new annual cycle of scripture readings and holy days. In 2011, the Chinese and Vietnamese New Year will be celebrated on February 3rd. Muslims will begin a new year on December 5th, and the Jewish observance of Rosh Hashanah will be underway as of sundown on September 28th. It seems that the point of having a New Year's Day isn't so much to mark some objectively observable phenomenon that obviously happens on a specific date, but to recognize both change and continuity in the cycles of life, and to keep open the possibility for clean slates and new beginnings. We know, of course, that forgiveness, reconciliation, and a fresh start is possible at any moment. A new adventure or a new understanding of some recurring event can take place at any time of the year. But we pick one day, one time, to especially acknowledge and reflect on newness and to review and say goodbye to what is gone. It helps bring depth of meaning to those experiences, and it helps us to recognize milestones more fully whenever they might appear in our lives. The same is true of many other special observances. We pick a day to celebrate Christmas, December 25th. We pick a day to observe the arrival of the Magi, January 6th, not because we know for a fact that this is the exact day on which certain historic events took place, but because we want and need to have a specific day set aside to honor something extremely significant, which has ongoing implications for each and every day of our lives. Christmas and the day sometimes known as Three Kings Day are important because they help us stay awake to the reality that every day God's love is born into the world. Every day, people make choices to serve hope. Every day, people act to protect and preserve life and peace. It's always happening. Every day, journeys of faith begin. Strangers arrive. Questions are asked. Meetings are held. Doors are opened. This Thursday is officially the Feast of the Epiphany, when kings come to the brightness of God's rising. And it's a day to honor the fact that seeking is a worthy endeavor, and finding makes for a joyful occasion, no matter when they take place. The option of following a star is always open to us, not just on this one particular day, but always. The need to be wise and avoid betrayal is always upon us. The desire to bring and share our best gifts is always with us. The quest to worship God truly and well is always before us. We celebrate now, but we carry this knowledge with us always. In a letter to friends and fellow believers in Ephesus, Paul, or someone who shared in his ministry, wrote about the thrilling knowledge that he carried always with him as a result of Christ coming into the world and living among us. The big news, as far as Paul was concerned, was the way Christ made clear that everyone is part of God's family. There's no more us and them, Paul exulted. No more aliens and outcasts. We're all one. We have access, all of us, in one spirit to the Father. Dividing walls have been broken down. There is one humanity, not two. It's a lesson made clear at the very outset of Jesus' time on earth, when strangers from a different land and a different religious and cultural heritage set out on a journey of faith to recognize a birth that hardly anyone else had noticed. And they get welcomed into Christ's humble home. If we limit our celebration of the Magi to just one moment in the year, it will be our loss, because really, we're meant to live year-round the truth that all are welcome to bless God in Christ with their adoration and their gifts. I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you've already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been made known and revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of God's power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith. The boundless riches of Christ are for everyone, not just a limited few. Those riches include forgiveness, acceptance, healing, compassion, community, good purpose, and unending grace-filled life. The wisdom of God comes in colorful variety, and it's our astonishing job as the church to reveal that variegated wisdom to everyone. We do so by being as confident in God's love and as open to all the people that God sends as Jesus was. A woman by the name of Ruth Sawyer remembers a time when she was caught up in the story of the Magi in the midst of her own life. It happened at the time traditionally reserved for the celebration of Christmas and the journey and the gift-giving of travelers. But the experience remained with her ever after, always and permanently informing her daily life and faith. Ruth was away from home. She was spending time in Spain. She arrived in the city of Seville at the very beginning of January, where, in spite of extreme cold weather and the terrible poverty of the people, everyone was engaged in preparing for the great festival of the Three Kings. Now, Ruth liked to explore, and it wasn't long before she had made friends with the cordial and hardworking old man whose job it was to supervise and tend to the park that was not far from her hotel. He swept the sidewalks, he tidied up fallen branches from the trees. He kept the merchant stalls organized. He sold packets of seeds so that people could enjoy feeding the birds. On the third morning of her stay, Ruth discovered that Antonio, the park attendant, had acquired a brand new helper. "This is Pepe," explained Antonio as he introduced the small, skinny, poorly dressed boy. "He's come here all the way from his family's farm in the mountains. He wants to earn enough money to buy a burro for his father. So from now on, please buy your bird seeds from Pepe." Ruth wondered if little Pepe had any idea how many seed packets it would take that he would have to sell in order to earn enough money to buy a donkey. "My papa is a very good man," announced Pepe. "He's a good farmer, but he's been sick. A bus killed our burro, and so my papa has been carrying heavy loads on his own back. It's too much. We must have a new strong burro, and so here I am. I'm the oldest of all my brothers and sisters, and it's up to me to do what I can to help our family." Ruth bought 10 packets of seeds that morning and generously fed the birds. And then as she wandered about the markets, she investigated the price of burros. That evening, back at her hotel, she told one of her fellow travelers about this boy that she had met. The fellow traveler happened to be a student doing research at the university. He had a lot of questions about where Pepe was staying and why it was that Antonio was allowing him to even think that he was going to be able to accomplish such an out-of-reach goal as earning enough money to buy a burro. The student was so curious that the next day, instead of going to the library, he went with Ruth to buy bird seeds and meet Pepe. Pepe was very excited to be introduced to Abraham, the student, perhaps a young man not so much older than he himself was. A conversation began, and soon Pepe had taken Abraham by the hand and was leading him off to show him the tree in the park under which he was sleeping each night. "My home is your home," Pepe said to Abraham, who in turn expressed appreciation for Pepe's great hospitality. And then Pepe confided his reason for all of his great hopefulness. "Soon it's going to be the day of the three kings," he whispered. "I'm sure they're going to bring me a wonderful gift. They must know how much my papa needs a new burro. I think they're going to leave one for me when they pass by on their way to Bethlehem." Later, when Abraham reported to Ruth what he had learned, the path became immediately clear. "The king's ride only 2 days from now," exclaimed Ruth. "We've got a lot to do." That evening, Abraham made a speech in the dining room of the hotel. He told the guests there all about Pepe and invited them to make a contribution. People responded with kind enthusiasm, and Ruth added in the amount that she was able to give, and the next day, she and Abraham went shopping. On January 6th, a great procession made its way through Seville. First came the musicians, blowing on flutes and pipes. Then came three men on horseback, wearing royal robes and the sparkling crowns of kings. Before each one walked a standard bearer who shouted the king's name to the crowd. Caspar and Melchior rode white stallions. Balthazar rode a magnificent black horse. Following each king, half a dozen burros with red tassels and silver bells on their harnesses came along, each laden with bags that were filled with toys. And following after the burros were ox carts, also filled up with toys. And the oxen had wreaths around their necks made out of flowers and ribbons. As the procession passed by, the kings tossed handfuls of candy into the crowds, and the children scrambled to catch them. Pepe, from his position up on Abraham's shoulders, managed to catch quite a bit of candy. "See those burros?" he called down to Ruth. "A burro just like that would make my papa so happy." Once the parade was over, Abraham suggested that the three find a cafe and enjoy some breakfast. Pepe was obviously thrilled with the hot eggs, the milk, and the sausage, and he remembered to share his candy with his friends. "Now I have some advice for you," said Abraham to Pepe as they parted company. "Those riders on horseback, they are wise men as well as kings, and they do not leave even small gifts where boys stay awake and watch for them." "I'll remember, friend," answered Pepe. "I promise I will sleep." That night at midnight, Abraham and Ruth met the burro seller at the park and took possession of a healthy young animal just as they had arranged. Abraham had brought oats in his pockets, and he fed the burro and then tied it up to the tree right next to the one where Pepe had been seeking shelter. Ruth, ever so carefully and quietly, crawled under Pepe's tree and saw him there, as he had promised, sleeping soundly, wrapped up in an old blanket full of holes. She covered him with a new blanket, and then from the low branches of the tree she hung warm pants, colorful jacket, thick socks, sturdy shoes. Finally, she laid a leather wallet near his head, which held enough money to buy food for boy and burro on the journey home. "Go with God," Ruth and Abraham whispered quietly before tiptoeing out of the park and back to the hotel. You should have seen him ride away on that burro with the pride of a man, Antonio said the next day as he described to Ruth and Abraham Pepe's departure. The kings brought him everything he would need for his travels. He was well-dressed and well-supplied. "I am glad, said Antonio, "for him and his family that he's on his way home. But I will surely miss that brave and hopeful and hard-working boy." Ruth and Abraham felt the same. And they had learned something they would never, ever forget. Wise and attentive royal personages are always on the move, looking for ways to bring gifts to trusting children who are in need of a miracle. Holy God, we're gathered here today to begin a new year with you. We bring high hopes, good intentions, need for comfort and healing, and prayers for ourselves and our world. We know that you are always listening, always near, always loving us. We ask that you would help us to get better at loving you, better at living in your grace, better at following your guidance and sharing your peace. We have been taught and have learned to expect that your light shines ever brighter in the days to come. May we be among those who respond to your presence with eager hearts and open hands. We pray now the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.